54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate the cities to be inhabited. Don't be afraid, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be you confounded or confused, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall not forget the shame, or I'm sorry, you shall forget the shame of your youth, and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth he shall be called. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when you were refused, saith God. For a small moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, saith the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with you, nor rebuke you again. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be taken away, saith the Lord, that has mercy on you. O thou storm-tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors. I will lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your windows of agates and the gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall not be far from, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall never come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment against you, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the saints. This is the word that God gave me the day after Christmas last year concerning 2010. And I've shared on it before. I believe that this word is being fulfilled in 2010, just as God said it would be, and you don't have to help it. It has nothing to do with your agreeing with it. It only has to do with what God said he would do because he loves you. The labor is not yours. You don't have to help it out. You don't have to be God. You just simply have to hear it. And hearing, you either believe or you don't believe. If you don't believe, don't try to believe. If you don't believe, you just don't believe. But if you hear it, And you do believe that's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's something you didn't make happen. You just and faith just comes by hearing. You just hear it and listen to it again and listen to it again. Then you may believe. And if you do, you will do exactly what he said, which is this: enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, double or triple or something, but enlarge where you are. It's talking spiritually, but he may also be talking in other ways as well, but at least spiritually. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Do not spare. In other words, if you were barren, if you had no children, if you have not borne fruit, if you've been desolate, if you've sown for years and years and years and have taken nothing, or you've actually been destroyed or wasted, know that God saw all that, and that God ordained for you to flourish. He did not ordain for you to be barren or to remain barren. He did not ordain for you to be desolate, but you've had problems and troubles in your life. That was of God. God allowed the enemy to tempt you and test you. But remember, the enemy had to ask Job, God, am I allowed to touch Job? And God said, yes, but only up to a point. In other words, you cannot destroy him. That's mine to give. I gave him life. You can't take it from him. But you can test him, because I have sown into him. And so my servant Job will bear fruit. But yes, for a season, you may take away all that fruit, because you said, oh, of course, he blesses you because you put a hedge around him. And of course, everything goes his way because you're always spoiling him. Take it away and he'll curse you to your face. And God said, not so. Because my people hear my word. Job is my servant. And he will not turn from me, though you slay me, Job said. Yet I will fear God. I will not turn away. I will not quit. I will not stop believing. Even though the vision dies, yet I will believe in resurrection. So many of you have been told things by God, and you took him earnestly. You took him at his word, and the next thing that happened is trouble. And God did that so that you would be tested to see whether you believed his word because you saw it, or whether you would believe his word because he said it. So the test is, I don't need to see it to believe it. Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those that believe without seeing, though there be no fig on the tree, though there be no grain in the bin, though there be no calf in the stall, though there be no fruit in the field, yet I will trust in God. I believe God cannot lie. I believe that I'm his beloved. I believe that everything he said will come to pass as surely as he said it. Now, normally you believe that and then you're tested. What I'm telling you is this year, he's going to do it without test. You've been tested for 30 years. You've been tested for a long period of time. You have not seen the fruit of your labor. You have labored. The seed has gone into the ground. You haven't seen the blessing. But God said, now, I'm telling you, it's going to happen this year. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what he's talking about. None. All I know is I fear him and I believe him. That's just my own testimony. That God said, I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. I want you to stretch forth your curtains. I don't want you to spare. I want you to, and I don't know what he's talking about. I have some ideas, but I don't really know. I want you to stretch forth your cords. I want you to strengthen your stakes. Because if a storm comes and you have longer cords now and your tent is twice as large or three times as large or whatever, I want you to know that that storm will not harm you if you drive your stakes in, because I'm about to bless you. And when I do, the enemy, of course, will come to test you. But I will be with you, and it's going to happen. So I believe 2010 is a major year in our personal history. Whether it affects the whole United States or all of the churches or the whole world, I don't know. I believe it probably does. But I know exactly, at least particularly, he was speaking to us, Dallas and Fort Worth, the churches, that you are going to see an explosion. Signs and wonders will come. all kinds of things that he told me. But whatever those are, it is, I didn't make them happen. I just simply believe what he said, and I just read you what he expressed. Now, all he said to me was, enlarge the place of your tent. When I asked him, Lord, what's going to happen in 2010? And I usually pray between Christmas and New Year's to see what it is the Lord is saying and doing for the year to come. And, you know, he usually speaks. But this year he said something that I didn't believe. He said something I couldn't comprehend. He said, I want you to enlarge. And it's like, God, this is a bad year. This is not really, you know, you're not paying attention. Churches are going belly up this year. At least don't let us belly up. But I don't want to expand or anything. I just didn't want to go out of business. That's about it. Because I know a lot of ministries have already folded. I mean, they're just tons and tons. You probably don't even hear about it, but they're happening all over here in Fort Worth as well. And they're just churches can't pay the bills. People are out of work. Mortgages are coming, and you know, people can't cough up the money they need and so on. Banks aren't loaning, and businesses are drying up and so on. And it's going to be that way for years to come. And I said, you know, God, this is not a time to expand. You know what you're talking about, but you can't expect me to believe that. And he said, I didn't ask you. I'm telling you. Well, okay, I'll do it, but foolish. So has God ever spoken to you and said something foolish? You know, like when you know there's no hope. I mean, let's be realistic. And God is saying, no, I want you to sing, O barren. And she that hath no children, I want you to know you'll have more children than she that had children. And it's like, that's cool, God. I mean, that's good. And I believe that in heaven. But I think for this world, you have to be realistic. And seriously, I fought him over that. He's, God, that I don't want to say that to the people. I'm not going to say that. I'll just kind of believe it myself and then write it down on a piece of paper. But I don't want to declare that, because what if it doesn't happen and you don't come through? You've done that before, you know. How many know that God doesn't always come through when he says he's going to come through? Because he has his own watch. You know, he has a different watch than mine. When he says, call on me right early, and I call on him right early, he sometimes is late. Has anyone noticed that? I'm not joking. I'm just telling you that when you believe God, it often happens that you rush out and do whatever it is you thought he was talking about, and it doesn't work. You know that scripture that says, labor to enter into his rest. And the meaning of that is simple. You labor so that you find out that labor doesn't work. So what he meant was, I want you to give it your best so you can realize your best isn't good enough. And then I want you to be frustrated and angry and bitter, and then you'll turn to me and enter into my rest because you can't do it. And it's like, well, God, why even start then? He says, because I want you to learn that you're weak. I want you to learn that you're not God. I want you to know for sure that when I act, you will know it wasn't you, it was me. So, okay, well, I just won't put any effort into it. And, you know, you can just give it to me. Nope, because when it happens, I want you to thank me, because you will realize nobody could have done this, and it's just me. Now, when Jesus was dead, there was no reason to imagine that he would rise from the dead. God has done it, but it's not very frequent. And so it was like, you know, it looks like that was the end of Jesus. And all of his disciples who were the first Christians, all those first Christians, they didn't believe it. Even though Jesus said, you know, on the third day I'll rise again, and he told them everything, showed them all the scriptures from the Old and New Testament, they still didn't believe in it. And even when he rose from the dead, 10 of them believed in it, but one guy wasn't there, and Judas had already killed himself. So that one guy said, well, I'm not going to believe that unless I see. I mean, I believe you guys are doing something or other, but unless I see for myself, I'm not going to believe. I mean, I have to stick my hand in his side, and you know, I mean, I want to see it, because seeing is believing. And then Jesus appeared the next week and said, Thomas, here I am. And he said, I want you to put your hand in my side right there. And Thomas went, uh-oh. I think I was a doubter. And So God knows when he gives you a word that you don't believe, and he knows if you do believe. And if you do, it's going to get you in trouble. But this year, what God told me, and I'm just telling you, big things are going to happen, and I have no idea what they are. Major things. Now, I know what we're afraid of. We're afraid of the illegals coming over the border. We're afraid of, you know, the Muslims blowing us up. We're afraid of, you know, the communists in the White House going to destroy us and turn us into socialists and so on. We're afraid we're going to go bankrupt. You're afraid of all those things, but those are not the things that God wants you to concentrate on. What God wants you to see is, I said, turn unto me. I don't care about the economy. I don't care about the dangers. I don't care about socialism and, you know, the American way of life going away. What I want you to do is sing. Sing. You're cuckoo. I can't sing. When you have borne nothing, and when you have sown and then taken nothing, and when you do not see the fruit of your labors, you want to give up. At least you want to murmur. At least you want to tell somebody, well, you know, and you want to gripe and complain at the water fountain. How's it going, Alice? Well, you know, same problems I've had all along. Well, could I pray for you? Don't bother. They've prayed for me plenty, and I've prayed, believe me. You know, just leave me alone. I'm not coming to this drinking fountain anymore if you keep praying for me. And so people just give up on God because they don't see that he's real. They don't see that Christians are changing. They just don't see the power and the majesty and the glory of God. Now, how many know that we're all believers here? We believe that God is exactly what he said he is. And we believe that he can do miracles and signs and wonders. We just don't believe it'll be this year. It's going to be somebody else, some other time, but not now. So I'm just telling you, I can't not believe. I believe. I'm not making myself believe. I just believe God spoke to me, and I told you what he said, and I didn't have any faith in that other than the fact that I believed it. I mean, I believed it, but I didn't want to. I wanted to doubt. It's sometimes easier to doubt than it is to believe, and especially when you don't have any evidence or any sign. And one of the things I asked him, which he didn't answer, is, well, God, are you going to do that on January 1, or are you going to wait till December 31, you know, for this explosion? And when you ask those kind of questions, God knows you're testing him, and he's not going to tell you. So he wouldn't let me know. He just said, Jim, just do what I told you to do. Did you enlarge the place of your tent? No. Did you stretch out your curtains? Did you spare not? Did you do everything I told you to do? Tell the people to come on time? They won't do it, God. Did you tell them to do it? Yeah. But they didn't do it, see? See, they're not good people. Amen. I was good, God, I was good, but they weren't good. They didn't do right. No, God says, Jim, stop that. Just get your eyes off of this world. Get your eyes off yourself. Look at my word. Listen carefully. Now, one of the things that he said after he said all of that was, you will break out on the right hand and on the left hand. Now, the right hand is spiritual. That means I will give you favor spiritually. I will give you favor. So that means in the church. The church will somehow be highly favored. Signs and wonders and blessings and people returning, all kinds of miracles and so on. Expansion, you know, financial, all of that. That's the right hand. And that's the part I was interested in. But he said you're also going to break out on the left hand. Now, the left hand has to do with the economy. It has to do with politics. It has to do with the powers of this world, the kingdoms of this world. I will give you favor also with the world. I'm not even wanting that or looking for that, other than I want them to leave us alone. And so I thought, well, maybe that's what he's talking about, is just, you know, mind your own business and stay out of mine. Just let us do what we want to do and need to do that you've told us to do. And so it's like God is saying, don't worry about it. I'll take care of all that. Well, when I ran for election a week ago and won, I thought, well, even at the beginning, I wasn't going to run, but I thought, well, maybe he's saying, be involved, and I'll bless you, and you'll prevail. Well, I believe that, and I did, and I wasn't nervous about winning. I was nervous that Wow. What does it mean that God tells you ahead of time what's going to happen? That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight that you it isn't just taking a task somewhere, doing something, but there's something big going on. And then all of a sudden the whole party changed. I mean, there's been a changing of the guard. Those people that have been involved for 20 years suddenly are no longer in power. They've lost their power base. And there's a leadership change, and all kinds of things are happening that everyone's confused now, because literally the world watches America to see what's going on. And America watches Texas. I mean, there's no other state that they're that interested in. California's a big D. New York is a big D. So all the big states are D's. You know, and so they're just wondering what's going to happen with Texas, whatever Texas does. And Texas is concerned about Dallas-Fort Worth, particularly Fort Worth. Fort Worth is the center of the whole political world. I'm telling you, the whole world wonders, what are they going to do there? Those yahoos, those Christian crazy people, what are they going to do? You know, are they going to put bullhorns on their, is the pastor going to put a bullhorn on his car, you know? And, yahoo! Jesus and the flag and motherhood and all that stuff. You know, what are they going to do there? And so the world knows that Obama's now in the office, and he's going to bankrupt us, and, you know, we're going to owe trillions, numpteen trillions, and we're already broke, and he's going to do more and so on. And so the world knows, well, what are you going to do now? And now homosexuality is going to be back in, and all the Christian values of pro-life and pro-this and pro-that, that'll go down the drain, and suddenly everything's up for grabs. Well, what God says is, don't be concerned about anything. Just seek me first and I'll give you everything else. It's like, wow, praise the Lord. What does that mean? And so it's exciting. I totally believe that God is going to do something powerful and already has been. And I believe signs and wonders have already happened and miracles. We went to Uganda. Joel will be here on Tuesday. He's so excited about what happened in his country when we went, and several of you went with me. David went with me and some others. It was powerful, and I believe we changed that nation. I literally believe God gave me the message that would speak to those people, and then the signs and the healings and the salvations and the different things. I believe the message, not just the signs and wonders, but the message went in, and they received it. Unlike Thomas, who doubted, those people heard the word, and even though it had confirmation tied with it, they believed the word without seeing. And then they also saw. But I believe it's the word that God wants from us. Just preach my word. Just say what I'm saying. Do what I'm doing. Fear me. Honor me. Love me. Follow me. Trust me. I'm in charge. Now, no one can do anything to make these things happen. If God wants to do something, he's free to. He owns everything. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness of the, you know, he has, everything belongs to him. The church belongs to him. The state belongs to him. The economy belongs to him. Everything is his. He can do what he wants anytime he wants to. But what if 2010 is, as he says, at least for us, what if it's a major turning point in the whole world and a major turning point for us in that world? Just by doing what God said to do is to love one another. I know politically, one of the reasons I think I won, one of the reasons why everyone voted for me, because I had no natural voter block. The Tea Party didn't know me from a cake of soap, but they voted for me. The Ron Paulus were mad at me because I disagreed with one of their strategies. The Christian right angry at me because I won't swallow the Kool-Aid and follow the leader. The ladies groups that meet, I don't go to them very often. So nobody liked me, nobody was for me, but they all voted for me. And when I called them up, not one, this is literally true, not one person said no. Every time I called up, and I called up practically everybody, and they all said, sure, yeah. Well, I haven't even explained what I'm standing for or anything. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, we trust you. I got to go right now. You know, and they just hang up, and there's no discussion. And this, and I would ask, would you like to ask me any question about, you know, what I believe or something? No, that's fine. It's like, so it's like, It was like, I don't believe this. Bert, you were there. And I didn't call you? So I forgot to call Bert. But other than that, I did call practically everybody. But what's neat, what's powerful, is when God tells you something, it's just going to happen. Now, when it happens and how it happens is in His hands. But when He says it's going to happen this year, then I'm not going to doubt that. I'm going to believe, even though you just lost your job again, I'm going to believe that that's taken care of. But I don't know how. I don't know how He does it. All I know is we cannot focus on what we see. We must focus on what He has said. So I can only say, sing. Sing, O barren. When things are tough, that's when to say, hallelujah, our God is great. Anybody can say our God is great when things go well. Anybody can say, you know, America's wonderful when we're winning. What about if we're losing? What about if we have no ideas? What about if we run out of energy and we run out of dreams and we run out of words and it's just all flat? That's when God says, now's the time. I want you to enter in to my rest. Now, when you've done everything you can do and it didn't work, turn to me. Now, on this Father's Day, I especially want to speak to the fathers about being confident and optimistic that your wife doesn't have any burden and that you take all the burdens and give her all the blessings. That's a real man. And therefore, you are always, I don't care if you're out of a job or not, you encourage your family. This is great. This is wonderful. There's no problem here. My God shall supply all my needs, our needs, according to His riches and glory. And you have to come up with scriptures to counteract the devil's test. You need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I say this is going to be the greatest year ever. I say this is going to be an awesome year, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's social, whether it's economic, whether it's political. This is going to be an awesome year. Now, I refuse then to accept what looks like. And I'm going to go by what is said by God. And therefore, it's a death to me because it's like, well, what happens if God doesn't come through? You know, I've made all these bold statements. Now, what if He doesn't do anything? You know, then I'll be a loser. Right? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So when you're not sure, like it'd be different if everybody was flourishing, then you could say, yeah, God's going to bless us. But now, even those groups that believe in those things, they're not even saying anything because they're having trouble. Did you know that? All those people with wealth and health and, you know, God's this and that and so on. Well, they're not saying it right now because they're experiencing their own. They've had to reduce their ministries. They've had to reduce the size. They've had to cut back. They've had to fire people or let people go, whatever you call it. Or, you know, the Lord is telling us or whatever, however they say it. I think the Lord is calling you into another field. And so, you know, I mean, people just don't have the wherewithal, and the banks who have it, they won't give it. And, you know, it's just going down the drain. Everywhere you look, it gets worse and worse and worse. That is exciting. That's when the barren says, I will have more children than she that is married. That's when the desolate says, even though it's a wasteland, even though there's nothing seeming to be happening and there's no hope, the economy's going to keep going down. Everyone's afraid of a international, you know, there's no more money to bail out anybody. They're just pieces of paper that are getting more and more worthless. Who's going to, for example, Germany is completely tied to the Greece because of the Greeks have taken advantage of the Germans. And the Germans are hardworking people, but they're going to run out themselves. And they know it. They're going to go bankrupt. And Europe then will fall to the bottom because Germany and Holland were the only two that had a stable type of economy. It used to be that the Scandinavian countries, particularly Sweden, were well fixed and everybody had a job and everybody a house and everybody of this and everybody of that. And so it looked like communism, socialism was working. And now our president, you know, everybody gets, you know, health care and, you know, you get money for college and, you know, promising everything and unable to deliver anything. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's like surreal. It's like it's not even real. Is this the real world? Are we watching a, what is that Matrix movie where you don't know if you're in reality or not? Never saw it, but I've heard about it. It's crazy. And I don't know if you want to take the pill or not, face, but it doesn't look good from a human point of view. But God said, this is the best ever. Turn to me and praise me. And spare not, you know, don't hold back. This is the best year ever. So how many here have been barren? You've sown and sown and sown and sown and sown and haven't seen the results, haven't seen, you know, you're just an ordinary person. You think, well, God, do something great with me, and nothing has happened. So he says, sing. It's like, sing. And it's like, how can I sing? Nothing's happening. You know, you don't do it. I have to do it and then give you the credit. When are you just going to do it? And God is saying, I've already done it. I've already done it. I don't want to show it to you. I want you just to believe it. And if you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. Oh, do I have to work at believing? No. You just hear it. And if you believe it, you believe it. And if you don't, you don't. So if you don't believe God, don't make yourself believe. Like, I got to believe. No, no, you don't. If you don't, you don't. It's not something you can make happen. If Jesus hasn't done it all, nothing's going to happen. But if he has, celebrate. So sing, O barren, because you're going to break out on the right hand and on the left hand, and I'm going to do great and marvelous things, and it's going to be this year. It's like, really? I wish you wouldn't tie it down like that. Just say, it could happen one of these days, you know, because then we wouldn't, because there's only 6 months left now, you know, and there's no way he could come through. But here's what he's saying. All your children, the ones you don't have, all your children will be taught of the Lord. And I'm going to lay your foundation with precious stones. You have no idea what God can do when you're done. When you stop helping him, that's when God does something that could not be done by you. He only told you to do it so you'd realize you couldn't, so that you would turn to him who could and did and has. And God has already prepared everything. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Is God able when, you know, you might have financial problems, you might have physical problems, you might have relational problems, you could have, you know, all kinds of problems in your life, and God calls them mountains and hills. In other words, there's something that's standing between you and the victory. And he said that I will remove all the mountains, all of them, and all of the hills, and nothing will prevent you from flourishing. Now, how many believe that? That God is going to do that? You're just saying that. You're just saying that. Okay, let me do it again. I mean, how many really believe that? Oh, you're crazy. That's crazy. If you believe that, you're dead to this world, and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. But I truly believe, this is my personal belief, I believe that God is going to do something right here in Texas. I don't think it'll happen in Illinois. I don't think it's going to happen in New York. It's not going to happen in Florida. It's not going to happen some other place, even though you've seen things happening. I don't believe it's going to happen there. I believe this is the place where social, economic, political, and spiritual is gathered together in such a way to be an example. And you may be offended by that. Maybe you just want it to be spiritual. I'm telling you, I believe the spiritual is connected to all of those other things. And if you get your religion right, everything else works. And that is the issue today in the entire world, is are we all the same religion? No. Religion is not something everybody holds in common. Some people don't even believe in God at all. Some people believe there's 50 of them, 1,000 of them, 1,000,000 of them. Other people believe there's just one. Other people believe there's three. Other people believe all kinds of things. But so religion is not what unites us. So how can a religion that's only for a handful of people be the foundation of everything else? So this is a crazy nation, first nation in the history of the world, that thought, let's not have government control and own religion and dominate it. Or let's not have the religion as it is in Saudi Arabia control and dominate the nation. Europe right now is facing that. It used to be that Europe went atheistic and communistic and socialistic and so on, and they just got rid of God altogether. And people in Europe outgrew God, post-Christian. And then the Muslims came in who believed that the state should be dominated by the imam and Sharia law. And now London has to make room for that. And Paris, France has to make room for that. And all of a sudden, they are putting Europe underneath Sharia law. And you let a little bit in, and it comes in, and it just keeps going. And so they're trembling. they no longer have power. Their euro is going to go down and the American dollar will go up. But how will we avoid that? How can you stop the borders from bringing over Muslims and, you know, people who are militant, who want to see jihad happen and so on? What God is saying is, don't worry about that. I don't want you to worry about that. Let the government do what it wants to do or not do what it's supposed to do or whatever. Just leave that alone. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. That is such a powerful thing. And that message, which is the final message, is because Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's not coming back for the kind of blurry kind of religion that, you know, most of the world's been familiar with for the last 2,000 years. He wants people that are truly justified, sanctified, glorified, so that he can say, here's a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I believe that the political system which goes along with that is no longer popular. And yet, it's too bad. Whether you like it or not, God wants freedom. And he doesn't want government taking over the auto industry or whatever else and so on. Well, how can you throw them back? I mean, once that's in, who's going to knock it down? So once you start getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in debt, how can you get back out again? Now you owe trillions and trillions. It was bad enough when it was millions and millions and billions. Well, now it's not millions or billions, it's trillions. I love it. I can't even count that many zeros. I've never written a check like that. Have you? You know, so what do you do with trillions of dollars piled on your children and grandchildren? And the we don't have enough printing presses to even print all that stuff up. So, but here's what God says: sing. I love it. Shout. And when it says, "Let the desolate cry aloud," it isn't like, "Oh, woe is me." Cry aloud means rejoice. The Hebrew word for cry aloud means shout out loud like this. Hallelujah! It's exciting. Who would like to be next?
Hallelujah!
It's good. A little pathetic, but it's good. It's good.
You want me to try it again?
Yeah.
Can they help?
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Okay, go. Hallelujah!
Thank you. Thank you. That's good. So let her. That means the one that's dependent. Okay? Not the ruler, but the ruled. The one that has sown and believed and seen nothing. Let her shout for joy. Because God, your God, the one that loves you, is about to come, roll up his sleeves, and act on your behalf in such ways that no one can imagine. So if that's true, should that be true? I know I believe it. I've heard it. But you have to hear for yourself. If that's true, then don't believe it, but just simply wait and see that the Lord is good. See that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because he is. He's a good God. And he's about to do much bigger things than you can even imagine financially, relationally, emotionally, materially, spiritually, mentally. In every way, God is about not to let us go down the drain, because I think that's what most people are expecting. We're going to go down the drain. No, God is going to save out a remnant for himself and use them as light and salt, not just for local. That's why I believe what he's talking about is international as well as national. And he's going to say what you are doing locally will have an international impact on the whole world. So what little things you do, you cannot imagine how great is your God. And it's time. Now, please do not believe it if you don't. Don't try to work it up. But if you actually believe it, I want you to stand up and testify and say, I know because God told me, apart from you, God told me ahead of time what you just said. I love it. What if God has an agenda that none of us knows about, but it's bigger than anything you can imagine, and it's good? And you don't know about it, and all these troubles and problems are tests on us to see whether you will continue to believe that God can only do good things and that he has something in mind that he hasn't told anybody. but it's going to be bigger than anything this world has ever seen. It's going to have to do with, I've told you before, I believe Africa's role in the world. Africa is going to bring forth leaders that no one is expecting, and that can mean African Americans as well, who will suddenly take their rightful place equal to us, and then the things that we can't work out, never have worked out, and Jewish people will suddenly, you know, come together with people that are of the Muslim faith, who, if according to my travels, every time I go to a Muslim nation or a nation that once was Muslim, I find that the Christians are there and the Muslims are open up to Christianity. And so it's not at all like the media is telling you. There's actually powerful things going on. And, you know, who knows what God's going to do? But he's not going to come back for a church that's, you know, beaten down. He wants to come back for a church that's radiant in splendor. Father God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you are not a dead God. You are not a sleeping God. You are not a far away God, but you are a God close at hand. You are a husband, a father that watches over not only your wife, but also your children. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have relied upon you, and you said through David right now, you said we shall not be ashamed. We shall not be let down, but we shall see with our eyes what we have heard with our ears. Even as Job said, the thing that I feared came upon me. Now I know you with the seeing of the eye and not just the hearing of the ear. Lord, make these scriptures come alive to us according to your promise to us, which we now rely upon, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in your blessed, holy, and wondrous name. And everyone said, Amen.